Hey, Joe.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Pretty good. Did you have some a good time off?
I did, thank you.
Good. There anything that I should know before the meeting starts, or if I have the agenda that Amy sent out?
Not that I know of. Let me look. It doesn't look like the communications and marketing shared anything with anyone, so I don't know if they're gonna be doing.
Their marketing procedures.
Yeah.
I forgot who the chair of that is.
What is her name?
I have it on my list here. Where is it? Renee Forsett.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Hi, Amy.
Hi, Amy. Two. So, Amy, when you do bulk call, do you just look at the website? No, I go through that roster.
You do? Okay.
I go through the roster, which is where I mark all my excusals that I don't call because,
Did you get a lot of excusals this time, or?
just a couple.
Just a couple,
I'm worried about that, to be honest.
Yeah,
I think a lot of people are on vacation and forgot to tell us.
I am too, and I only have four people on my list right now, as an excused absence. So that would make it so that we would need 26 for quorum. And Amy, I have it in front of me if you just want me to go ahead like normal.
It's completely up to you. I have it in front of me as well, once you reminded me of its existence.
So, Amy, you said you had how many excused absences?
Four.
So if quorum is 31, then 30, or no, I guess it would be 60 minus 4.
Well, actually, we have 54 counselors currently.
Okay.
So,
So half of 54.
well, minus the four excusals.
Goodbye.
So half of 50. That's how I did it.
So 25 to 26. Okay.
Amy, if you want me to do it while you get ready for the election, I'm happy to.
Okay, that would be helpful just so I can update.
Right.
Yeah, that
I know you've got to do all the ballots.
Thank you, Amy.
Hey, welcome back, Amy.
Thank you, Grace. I had a good time, but it's also good to be back.
I'm glad at least you're back when it's starting to, like, really heat up, no? The heat is just exhausting.
It is exhausting, agreed. I'm seriously thinking about getting a kiddie pool up in the backyard just so I can soak in some cool water, you know.
I know, you know. I was talking to Jenny about the Civic Center. You know how in the middle they have those water that sort of spouts? When am I going to go there and walk in as an adult as big as I am, you know? I know it's for kids, but yeah.
I would be happy to join you in that, Grace. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And no rain in sight.
Exactly.
Hi, Amy. Did you receive my emails?
I did. Thank you. Yeah, I received those just a few moments ago, Carla, so I have your slide to share.
We're up to 30. Should we start roll call now?
I think of it like microwaving popcorn. You gotta wait until the bing bong loads.
Waiting for that one last popcorn to pop. Okay, that's 102. I call the meeting to order. Go ahead, Amy or Heath, if you're doing roll call.
Thank you, Speaker Lane. So, Councillor Arocha. Councillor Begay.
Here.
Thank you. Councillor Benitez? Blanco Silva? Fox? Councillor Chavez? Cushing?
Here.
Thank you. Temple Boss, are you able to, your microphone's not working. Are you able to call in? Unfortunately, we have to be able to hear you for me to mark you first. So if you're able to get it working, just let me know. At the end, you know, I'll ask if we missed anyone. Sharina Desai. Councillor Eastman? Faustino?
Here.
Fisher?
Present.
Thank you. Fleming Cabot? Flora?
Here.
Thank you. Forsyth?
Present. Sorry about that.
No problem. Gallego.
Present.
Gouch? I hope I'm saying that wrong. Or right. I think I'm saying it wrong, and I hope I'm saying it right.
It is Gouch, and I am here.
Thank you. Heidmeier.
Here.
Henley.
Here.
Jones?
Here.
Kafka.
Here.
Lane?
Here.
Brian Barger?
Here.
Lopez?
Here.
Luna?
Present.
Thank you. Martinez? McQuarrie?
Present.
Montoya?
Present.
Maria?
Here.
Olay? Okay, Ortiz is here. Sid?
Here.
Robert?
Here.
Robinson?
Here.
Thank you. Brooker? Sakiestula?
Here.
Sandoval?
Here.
Soya?
Here.
Serna?
Here.
Shasky?
Here.
Sloan?
Here.
Smith?
Here.
Stanton?
Here.
Stoddard?
Present.
Carol?
Here.
Thank you. Thomas?
Here.
Torres?
Here.
Trujillo?
I'm here.
Thank you. Trujillo McClure? Uriah Sandoval?
Here.
Wood? Okay. Anyone who came in after roll call started that did not hear their name, or Alex Boss, if you're able to talk up.
I'm here. This is Winton. Sorry, I just joined. I apologize.
No problem.
Thank you.
I am also here. Sharina Desai. I apologize.
Great. No problem. Hi. Anybody else? Oh, there you are, Lauren.
Amy, can you hear me now? I tried restarting my computer, and the video seems to work. Okay, awesome. I'm here.
Thank you, Alex. Okay, anybody else?
Your parliamentarian is here.
Oh, I apologize, Adam. I forgot to call you. Thank you for being here. All right. Speaker Lane, we have four.
Okay, thank you. Does everyone approve of the agenda? Is there anything we need to add? So if there's no objection, we'll accept the agenda as is. Chelsea Legay, you're up to read the land acknowledgement, and thank you.
Oh, thank you. Founded in 1889, the University of New Mexico sits on the traditional homeland of the Pueblo of Sandia. The original peoples of New Mexico, Pueblo, Navajo, and Apache, since time immemorial, have deep connections to the land and have made significant contributions to the broader community statewide. We honor the land itself and those who remain stewards of this land throughout the generations, and also acknowledge our committed relationship to Indigenous people. We gratefully recognize our history.
Thank you, Chelsea. Has everyone had a chance to read the minutes? Does everyone approve, or are there any changes to the minutes? So if there's no objection, we'll accept the minutes as they are. Are there any constituent comments? Not seeing. Now we're at reports, the president's report. Go ahead, Amy. for the name Amy.
Amy is perfect. Thanks. Okay, so what I want to do today for the President's Report is just give you a brief idea of what I've been talking to administration about since our last meeting, and then cover a couple of other quick topics. So first thing, I wanted to let all of you know that the Juneteenth resolution was very well received, and I was so happy to see how pleased the administration was that we put that resolution together and were able to get it to them at such a good time for planning for next year's calendar. So it is going to mean that they're going to need to do a couple of tweaks to the summer schedule for students, because it will affect the educational days of the summer semester, but they are absolutely willing to do that. So once next year's calendar comes out, I will be very surprised if we do not see a Juneteenth holiday on that calendar. So great work, everyone. Thank you so much. One of the other things that we've been talking about, and this is really related to an awful lot of constituent comments, is the COVID sick leave. So as you all know, COVID is really ramping up in New Mexico right now. I see several of you wearing masks who are on campus. That's something that is now a recommendation for staff when they're indoors on campus. And at the same time, we lost our COVID sick leave extension earlier this summer. So just a little background. The COVID leave was a federal program. And then once that federal program expired, UNM decided to continue it longer. So they gave us extra time to use that COVID leave. But it did expire at the end of May. And unfortunately, right now, we're seeing an awful lot of staff who are either sick themselves or caring for ill family members. You know, they may have a COVID-positive family member in their home. And so we're talking with the administration about what we may be able to do for COVID leave. But it of course, comes down to money, right? It's going to cost money to do that. So we need to figure out some estimated costs. We're working with HR on that. And then, you know, what can the administration possibly do for us? I want to be really transparent as much as possible with everybody. And so I'll tell you, I am not expecting it to be reinstated in exactly the same way that it existed before. But we may be able to get some sort of a program set up, especially for folks who are forced to quarantine, you know, for the 5 days. So that's something we're working on. And as always with anything, anytime you hear from a constituent about a topic like this, send it on, because the more folks we can point to that need something, the more meaningful it is when we're talking to administration. One of my priorities for this year happened to coincide with some constituent feedback, and so I'm taking that and running. And that is improving access to mental health for UNM staff, or behavioral health, I should say, because that can include substance abuse, which can include a lot of treatment. And so we just started a new benefits year. And if you are on Lobo Health versus, I think it's the higher tier Presbyterian plan, your copay for behavioral health did drop to $10 for tier one, which is really fantastic. It's not as great as if it was zero, but $10 is a lot more affordable than it used to be. And that was something that the administration deliberately did to try and increase access. But in addition to the fact that there is a cost, and there's not a cost for non-self-insured companies in the state, they're not allowed to impose any cost for like COVID. But we are, because we're self-insured. It's just really difficult for folks to navigate the system to get access to behavioral health. You know, we have cars. Cars is wonderful. If you've never used cars or you're not familiar, I would highly encourage you to check out their website. It's a great benefit for staff. But once your six sessions are up with cars, you then have to figure out how to get in with somebody else for behavioral health treatment. And for folks who are in crisis, that's just not manageable. You know, they're already having a hard time with the day-to-day, and then you add on, you know, making a lot of calls and trying to figure out how to make that work with their insurance, and it's just really tough. So that is something that I am going to be talking to admin about throughout the rest of my term. We're also wanting to focus on how we can, on an ongoing basis, fund salary increases for staff. That is a really difficult thing to do, even when the legislature basically gives us a raise, that they don't pay for it. I don't know if y'all know that. They decide UNM is going to give a 4% raise, and then they give maybe the equivalent of 1.5% to UNM. And the reason I say the equivalent is because the funding formula is funky, and in addition to the weird funding formula that we have, it only covers ING funded positions. So if you are on soft money, you get $0 to cover that. And that's why it becomes so difficult for us to give raises without making cuts other places or without a significant increase. And so this is really something that we're going to need to hit hard during the legislative session, and I hope that all of you will join us in some of that outreach. You know, every year we do the postcards. We have UNM Day, which we haven't had for a couple of years, but I, you know, knock on wood, we'll have this coming year. And so the more we can do to make our voices heard, the better. As part of this conversation, this is a little bit of a tangent to it, but related. Provost Holloway and Senior Vice President Constantinidis have volunteered to give staff counsel one of their famous sessions talking about money at UNM. And so I don't know if any of you have ever heard one of these. They're excellent presenters. They're both really great. And they make understanding some of these complex concepts really easy. So I definitely want them to come to a staff council meeting in the near future to talk about that, and we can ask questions about things like the funding formula and how does that affect and how do we budget and what happens when we don't have money to fund raises or, you know, grants, etc. So we'll get that on the books. So that's what I'm talking about with the administration right now. The other things I just wanted to touch on are counselor engagement. I just wanted to thank everybody. I know it's only July, but we are really off to a great start this year with counselor engagement. All of you new counselors are jumping in with both feet, and it's really wonderful. And our existing counselors are helping out, and everyone has wonderful ideas. And so just thank you. It means a lot to me to see that, and I hope we can keep that momentum. I wanted to also thank everyone who volunteered for the International ACAC conference. You know, the person who really was in charge of that conference was a counselor, Counselor Robinson, and I'm just really delighted that we had so many staff council volunteers, and those of you that I was able to see, you know, when I was doing my shifts and say hello to, it was really meaningful to see you guys there, so thank you. We want to continue to have a physical presence as much as possible. So whether that's volunteering at a conference or whether that is just showing up at an event that is being put on by another group on campus, we want to get out there so that folks can see us and know that they can come and talk to us, whether we're their representative or not, that we're here to them. So whatever we can do to facilitate that is really wonderful. And then finally, the grade at large election that is on the agenda for later today. All of you grade counselors, whether you're brand new or whether you're a longtime counselor, if you have never been on exec and you're interested, grade at large is a wonderful way to start. Precinct at large too, but we're not electing this. because you don't have as many duties, right? So the treasurer, for instance, has to prepare treasurer reports and look at money and do other duties on top of it. As great at large, you just get to show up and give your opinion and vote and sometimes attend extra meetings about things you're interested in. So you'll see how exec works, and I would just really love to meet some of you that I have never met before, although, you know, still running, even if I knew you, that would be great. So encourage you to think about running when the election comes up later this evening. And that is all I have for you today, unless anyone has any questions.
Go ahead, Grace.
President-elect.
Thank you, Amy. Thanks, Jill. I just wanted to add to your comment about the volunteer. Thank you so much for bringing that up. And I think the more the counselors show up for volunteer events, the more it encourages other staff members to do so. And I wanted to add that the Office of the University Secretary is actually looking for volunteers for first-year convocation. So if you have the time and are able to, please consider volunteering. They are looking for about 15 more people, so think about it. Thank you.
Go ahead, Tony.
Thank you. I must extend a lot of gratitude for all the staff counselors who volunteered for this event. This was a last-minute scramble to really get positions filled, and we did it. The conference overall was a success with very little failure points, and it was due to, you know, everybody that participated and pitched in, and we really appreciate it. And I think that we really showcased 83 different countries and over 1,000 conference attendees what UNM is all about, what Albuquerque is all about, and representing New Mexico. And I think everybody did an outstanding job. So thank you very much for the staff counselors that were present. We very much appreciate all of you.
Thank you. Anybody else have a question for Amy? Okay, on to the executive committee report with President-elect Grace.
Thank you, Joe. So my report was sent out this morning. Apologies if you haven't had a chance to read it. But there are a couple things on there that I wanted to call out. The executive committee is discussing issues around parking challenges on North Campus. Those of you who work out there know exactly what I'm talking about. And the SJC staff committee is looking at options that they will be bringing to the council and soliciting ideas. We also talked about the formation of a sustainability committee that comes in that core to President Amy's priorities this year also. We did recommend, there was conversation about formation of the sustainability committee, and the exec is in support of that. There's going to be more conversation in the council about that. We also sort of are going to pilot the something around like separate emails for the officers. I suggested that because it helped me manage my flooding inbox better, at least for me. We'll pilot it and see if it's even functional or if people even use those that separate email for the president-elect. If it works, then we'll continue. If it doesn't, we'll probably not continue using it. But at least I wanted to see whether it will filter out a lot of my emails into that separate inbox. So be on the lookout for that when it's active. So one of the things we are talking about is also around staff appreciation events and funding around that. There were some ideas proposed on how to spend the surplus funds that we have. You'll hear more about that from the treasurer. But other ways other than just sort of food events is what you would be talking about. Again, read it. There are about 6 points on there. If you have any questions, please send me an email. And then don't forget to read the president UNM president emails on Monday morning or Monday afternoons. I guess they come out now. There's a lot of stuff in there, sort of sometimes embedded, but it does impact us and it impacts our constituents. I'll stand for questions if there are any.
Are there any questions for Grace? Not seeing any. It's the speaker's report. That's me. We seem to be losing staff here at UNM to get better jobs elsewhere. At the same time, we're losing hardworking counselors. We've lost, I don't know if you've heard, but we've lost Scott Sanchez to another job. He's working for the legislature up in Santa Fe. And we've also lost Nate Shucker, and I don't know, I can't remember where he's going. But I would like to go on record and really thank Scott for all the hard work he's done during the time of crisis. And I would also like to thank Nate for all his hard work with the Staff Success Committee. They'll be missed. I miss him, and I'm hoping to have lunch sometime with Scott pretty soon. I have a few positions to fill. Without objection and unanimous consent, I would like to appoint Bryn McCabe-Kelly to the open grade 13 position. That's Scott's old position. So if there's no objection, I'd like to appoint her to grade 13. Okay, thank you. Without objection, I would like to appoint the following members to the following committees. Give me a second here. Ethics Committee, I would like to appoint Jessica Stanton as the chair, Lindsay Lopez as a member, and Gilbert Gallegos as a member. We still have Stephen Morello and Christine Rucker. For the Government Relations Committee, Mary, since Scott has left, Mary is now the chair of that committee. She'll probably either find a co-chair or a chair for that committee. And I would also like to add Frankie McQuarrie to that committee. For the Diversity and Equity, Diversity and Inclusion, I would like to install Angie Bukamp as chair and Jessica Stanton as co-chair. I would also like to appoint the new members, Ayunju Blamel, Amber Trujillo McClure, Hannah Torres, Serena Desai, and Mike Snyder. For the IT committee, I would like to appoint Damian Terrell as chair. For the Rewards and Recognition committee, I would like to, of course, appoint Grace and Yade as chair and co-chair. And then Aaron Rodriguez to that committee. For the Strategic Planning Committee, I would also like to appoint Carla and Ruth Stoddard, Toya and Martinez, and Serena Desai to that committee. And Kate Williams was vice chair of the Staff Success Committee, so she's going to be chair, and they're going to either look for a new chair or and a co-chair. And I would also like to add Damian Terrell to that committee, the Staff Success Committee. Are there any questions for me? Not seeing any. Let me go back to my agenda. Treasurer's report with Carla.
Hello, I did not send out that really cool template of report that I sent out less than the other previous treasurers have used. So I have something, just one slide to share to go over our end of year and the beginning of the new fiscal year. Let me share this real quick. Okay, can everyone see that? Okay. So,
Carla, we can't see it.
You can't see it? Oh, okay. Let's see. Your screen again. Share. Got it?
Yes.
Okay. Sorry about that. Okay, this is like the down and dirty of the reports. So fiscal year has ended, and if you look at this first column here, and these are all the four main indices, this is what was left over, available at the end of the year. As you can see on the operation index, Amy does a fantastic job of managing that index. Kudos to Amy. And yeah, that is like a spectacular number to have at the end of the year. And the other self-appreciation, we did have a large available amount. And then we had a fair amount with the other two awards. So what does that mean? There, it, potentially, it could have been a carryover of these end-of-year amounts. However, every year when they look at what how much you have, and it was pointed out that we may not carry over that full amount that was left over from the fiscal year. And that is the case with the staff appreciation events. So they did carry over $10,500, which is actually very good. I think that is a fair amount, considering that their other $10,000 could have been, probably was going to be used for different areas. So then the amounts that were available to be carried over were given on the supervisor award, and there was probably about a $40 difference for the carryover that we could have had. So it's still a fair amount, $3,023, for the Gerald May Award. What does that look like for the fiscal year? Fiscal year with the budget, carryover, operations has their regular operational amount and to use for all of Amy's regular day-to-day operational uses and how she sees fit to use that account for her office. Staff appreciation, this is the budget without carryover, 31,000 was put into the budget for the next fiscal year, $4,000 for the supervisor award, and $10,000 for the Gerald May. Those are pretty regular amounts to be put in. So nothing was decreased as far as the budget. Then we go to the carryover and these other amounts with the carryover. As you can see with the staff appreciation, we have a really nice little piece of money for staff appreciation and events. And all the funds for the staff supervisor award is in the budget. And the Gerald May also has this regular amount that they usually have. They usually put in the $10,000, but the $3,000 makes it nice because if you're having a large in-person event, some of that money is also used for space and any kind of refreshments if we're having a live presentation. So what I want to say about this staff appreciation and events is please think about how best to use these funds. Of course, we want to get down to a good use a majority of this amount. We don't want to lose money, so we want to be able to use as much as we can, but also to be resourceful. Always think about our mission statement, staff council mission, and what our purpose is as staff council and how events, if we have to utilize the event money, make sure that it's in the best interest of our mission. And I really would like to always putting heavy consideration on any event that we're supplying food. Over 100% of the time in my years with staff council, you will always have somebody complaining about food. There is always never enough. And there is, it's always a tricky factor. So you will always get disgruntled staff when we hand out food and kind of item. And so it's like last year we got this, or a few years ago we did that. Well, you know, every year is different. And so kind of think outside the box when we're having events that have any kind of food-related items. Plus, it's costly. I know that the UNM food for catering and stuff has gone up. The prices have gone up, as well as everything else. But one of the things I suggested in executive was a long time ago, we used to have a event where leadership, the president, the provost, HSC, chancellor, they all got together and they actually showed their appreciation by serving a breakfast to staff. And they did this in the sub. So they all had their aprons on and they were serving the staff and they showed their appreciation. And we used to have a slide presentation and all that kind of stuff. And my idea was probably I'd do a request to the president's office to see if, or the provost's office to see if there's any kind of funding they could provide to do that type of an appreciation food event for staff. I know it was always well received and staff appreciated seeing the president there and, actually serving some food to them. So anyway, I bring that up as consideration for the support, for the funds that we have now have available. And that's the end of my report. And, do you have any questions? Grace.
Thank you, Paula, for such a detailed presentation. Really do appreciate it. At least it gives me an idea of where our money is. The question I have for you is the carryover, if you can put up your slide one more time, sorry. And I think you may have actually kind of mentioned this slightly in your presentation.
Okay.
So for the Supervisor Award and the Gerald May Award carryovers, are those, do you, in your mind, because we had virtual events and this would have essentially gone towards rental of space and food?
That's correct. Okay. A lot of this carryover that are the available amounts you see is really because we're virtual. Some of these, and this, I'll have to say that this available amount, there was a large carryover from the previous year because of the pandemic and we were virtual, so they were letting that carry over. And now that we're more in person, I could see, these funds being used up more, effectively for in-person events. But also, the rewards and recognition who does the staff appreciation and does events, they were very good and very outside of the box thinking with the last year's staff appreciation events. I really hand it to them for doing all the different things and keeping themselves in a very good budget margin. So that was another reason why we had some extra money. But if you could expand, if rewards and recognition did that twice, they have the money for it. So think about those things.
Thank you.
Let's see. Any other questions? I'll stop sharing. I just also want to say I'll be one of the people that will have a designated email, treasurer's email account, and I really welcome everybody with any kind of ideas, suggestions, if they have any thought about how to best use our finances or just anything about in that area. I'm more than happy to work with you and help with you and see what we can do to help make us our staff at anything to do with that we're doing for staff successful. Thank you.
Thank you, Carla. On to the committee reports, rules and elections. I think they still need to get me who's going to be their chair and co-chair. Is anyone here to represent the rules and elections? Who's willing to speak? Go ahead, Sarah.
We will be meeting next week, at which point we will decide on a chair and a co-chair.
Okay, thank you. The Ethics Committee, I think these guys have met. You have anything to say? No?
Sorry, I couldn't find my unmute button. We have not met yet. We have scheduled our meeting, so we were wondering if we should change the date. But we will have a report for you next meeting.
Okay, thank you. Yeah. Communications and marketing. Is anyone there for communications and marketing?
Is Renee here? There you go.
I was going to ask, is Renee here?
I don't see.
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, there you go. All right.
Yeah.
All right. The floor is yours.
Well, we had a good meeting last month, and Madeline put together.
I think we lost your voice, your sound.
Yeah, I can see her, but her voice went out. So I think what she was trying to say is that Madeline put together a couple of drafts for us for the next parliamentarian series. So there's a save the date flyer that will be going out, and also a draft for the actual series once it's been confirmed and approved by the council. So those are the two things Madeline is working on. Renee, I haven't read your report. I will apologize, but are you back? Oh, Brian, do you remember? Those of the committee members that are here. But those are the two top highlights that we have.
Do you know what are you going to do, the communications and marketing procedure, or are you going to set that for next time?
I think that was sent out. I don't know.
Okay.
But I will table it because I can't confirm that.
Yeah. I do believe we also wanted to mention, just a reminder that if you do want the Communications and Marketing Council to say, to help with making flyers or promotional materials in any way, there is a request and process for that. So you can reach out to us for that process, but that just makes it easy for us to track the projects that we're working on. So.
Okay. We won't table it. We'll postpone it until maybe the next meeting, Mr. President.
Forgive me, Speaker Lane. I was in movement here at 5ACC and I cut out. I apologize.
That's okay. Did you have anything to add? I don't know if you heard what Grace had said, but did you have anything to add?
No, I was just speaking about the fact that we would that we had put together a parliamentary information sheet, and Madeline was going to do that. And then it was
okay. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
On to counselor feedback. Is there anybody from counselor feedback? Does that committee still exist? I think there are only three members left on it.
I'm here. So I think we were planning on at some point proposing the even goals, but haven't fully worked through whether the exit survey is going to be implemented or what. So once we consult internally and then we'll then come up with a solid plan.
Okay, Anna, you're breaking up at the end. Thank you. The diversity and equity and inclusion, do you have anything to add to your report? No? Government Relations Committee, I'm not sure if Mary is here. Anybody to speak on the Government Relations? Christine, HFC Committee, I'm sorry.
don't have anything more besides what I sent, and then Sierra was going to talk about parking today.
Jessica, you had something to add? I mean, Sierra, I'm sorry.
I have something to add. So As if anyone is here on North Campus, they have probably been impacted by parking or heard that people are being impacted by parking. We have, in the last couple years, lost a whole lot of MLOT, and it has been very contentious. We are getting a lot of feedback from staff, either through official channels or in, you know, in the hallways by the water cooler, about people's feelings around parking. And so what Health Sciences Committee has decided to do is there's a high likelihood of a town hall. And if there will not be putting a town hall, we will be requesting a town hall. But what we really want to do is for that town hall is to speak with a unified voice. So if we can get any feedback that you guys have, either personally or have received from other people, if you want to send it to me, we will be coming up with a list of questions, or statements or potential resolutions or whatever to suggest at the town hall. So please include me. Please send it to me. You can anonymize it, or you can send it to, or you can keep the names on when I submit the questions to the town hall on behalf of the committee. It will be pretty anonymous. It will be anonymous. So I would say from HSC committee, these are some of the things we can talk about. So that being said, just please send me whatever you have, and we will move forward with what we get to try to represent staff fairly on North Campus with parking. I do want to say there's a lot of kind of anger, and while I fully understand and probably partake in that anger, it is also not entirely Pat's fault. Or even mostly Pat's fault. They basically, UNM says, hey, we're taking your parking lot and we're going to build this thing. And they're like, okay, let's see what we can do to fix it. So, we want to be productive in our conversation, and that's why we are taking the approach that we are. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Are there any questions, by the way, for Sierra? Not seeing.
I have one.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Hi, Sarah. I know there are several people in my direct vicinity that would probably want to add their comments to that. What is a good date that I should tell them, like, submit your comments so that I can pass it on to you?
The town hall has not yet been announced yet, so we don't have a deadline date. As soon as the town hall is announced, we will be sending out a notification via our usual newsletter system for all HSC counselors, so they can respond to that, or they can send it to me within the next week or two. As long as we get it before the town hall, you should be good.
Okay, thank you. IT committee, Damian? There you are.
Hi, sorry. So we haven't had a meeting since April, and in the April meeting wasn't a quorum. Best I have found so far is that there's was some questions, I guess, about the ticket pass processing in Help UNM. And so I just wanted to put back to the council and see if there was any feedback or if people have seen any marked improvements in that issue. That's all.
Thank you. Oh, Carla has a question.
Hi, Damian. I'll have to say I have a lot of issues with IT help tickets. Sometimes I get a good response, and then sometimes it sits around for a while. That's my input.
So you're saying with the Help UNM ticket support model versus the support desk itself?
The support desk is actually more helpful. A lot of times I'll submit a ticket, and then I have to call the help desk to follow up with that ticket. Because it'll sit there and it won't do anything, but then all of a sudden it'll get active once I call the support desk.
Okay. Thank you, Carla, and if you got that question, email Damian. Rewards and Recognition Committee, do you have anything to add to your report?
I think the report was pretty brief. I just wanted to call out that we do have a lunch and learn session by a presentation by put together by our very own Yade, my co-chair. It's on July 29th, Yade, what time?
July 29th at noon. It was included, it was the very first thing in the staff council news that just went out today as well.
Thank you. And then also, if you have an idea about lunch and learn brown bag topic, please let us know. I'll send an email to myself and Yade, and we'll try and help you put it together. One of the things the committee is talking about is looking at ideas about where should exactly lunch and learn live. So be on the lookout for some more information on that. We're still kind of discussing that within the committee. I will stand for questions if there are any.
Okay, thank you, Grace. The next committee is a staff assessed. I'm not sure if anyone's here for that committee. Kate Williams, is that her name? Is the chair now that Nate has left. She needs to either look for a regular chair and the co-chair for that committee. Does anybody here want to speak to the staff success committee? Not seeing anyone. Strategic planning. I think that's Grace still, right?
Yeah, that is me. Thank you, Joe. So I don't have an official report. However, I did send out like a meeting time request form to all the members that had wanted to be on the committee and the old members too. So if you haven't had a chance to submit your feedback on that, please go ahead and do so so we can schedule our next meeting. Thank you.
Is there any unfinished business we need to take care of? Let's see. So I guess we'll go into the grade at large. Representative election. Is it my understanding we're taking nominations now? You could self-nominate. Go ahead, Amy.
I just realized, Joe, that we don't have a person from Rules on Election to actually do this. Looking at you, Sierra. But yes, you are right that we would take self-nominations now.
Do we go ahead with that, or do we actually need a Rules and Election committee member?
Someone from Rules and Election can request self-nominations now. This is going to be an excellent way for us to show all the new counselors that you can just ask for help on the fly. So whoever's willing to do it, just ask for help on the fly, because it will not be my first word.
Sierra, it looks like you're the one, right?
Sierra, I think.
Sierra. So team, all right. As a member of the Rules and Elections Committee, I am placing a call for self-nominations to this committee, or sorry, to this position, grade at large, and we have one spot open. Does anyone want to nominate either themselves, or can we ask for another?
Yes.
We can ask for somebody, if no one self-nominates, if somebody wants to nominate somebody else, we can do that, I think. Oh, great. We have a nomination. Anyone else? We've got two nominations.
Anybody else?
Should I play the Jeopardy theme song? Before <I'm laughs> Okay, there being no further nominations for the position of grade at large, nominations are closed. Statement. candidates, please limit your remarks to 2 minutes. We would like to hear from you in the order of nomination, beginning with Renee, and then with Amber. Renee, go ahead.
Well, hi, everybody. I am Renee Forsyth. I work for infectious diseases and rheumatology. I am the fellowship coordinator for both programs now. And I just started staff council just a few months ago, so I'm very interested in making a difference at the university. I listen to a lot of people, and I work for internal medicine. That is the department that I represent. It's the largest in HSC. So I hope to help out and to be available to bring matters of concern to the larger body within the university. And there seems to be a need for communication from both the top down and the bottom up. So hope to do that if wanted. Thank you.
Thank you, Renee. Next, we will have a statement from Amber.
Hello, everyone. Can you hear me okay? Okay. I am fairly new to UNM, haven't been here but more, not quite 2 years. I'm the associate registrar for records and registration, so I'd like to say that our office has kind of a 10,000-mile view of what happens on campus, and we receive a lot of information from a lot of different sources. I'm very interested in supporting the UNM community. This has been a goal of mine to work here for many years. I've been in higher ed for about 13 years, but so I'm very eager to help, to pass along knowledge, to work towards solution making, fence mending, whatever needs to be done. So thank you.
Thank you, Amber. We will now host a question and answer session for up to 2 minutes per candidate. Counselors, please use the raise hand function in Zoom to be recognized if you have a question for one or more candidates. Do we have any questions? All right, well, I won't make us sit here awkwardly for 4 minutes. If there are no questions, we will move on to the next section, and that is Amy will now send an electronic ballot to each counselor. Please indicate up to one choice for grade at large representative on your ballot. Write-in candidates are allowed. And Amy will send those out now, usually a little bit of a delay. Let me know. I will let you know once we start getting the ballots out. Let me know if you do not receive it.
Also, remember to check your junk mail. Sometimes it tends to go there.
The invitation that should be reaching your inbox right about now. If you just heard my ding, that was mine. So go ahead and vote. We will leave voting open for another 30 seconds. If you have any trouble, please let me know.
We have one person who hasn't received the ballot. I see people are having trouble. I want to remind you to check your junk mail. You might have a clutter mailbox, maybe.
I was in my clutter.
It was in your clutter, okay.
Also, sometimes if you're not campus, things don't tend to go through, so if you have your phone, try voting using your phone.
Thank you for that, Grace. I just remembered that same thing when I saw Gilbert's message. I think last time he had to go use his phone. Kelly, I'm checking on you. Give me 1 second. Okay, everyone. I believe everyone who wanted to and should be able to vote has voted. So I'm closing the ballot, and I will report back momentarily. Speaker Lane, I have the report. Number of ballots cast was 37. Number of votes required for majority to elect is 19. Votes for candidate Amber Trujillo is 21. Votes for Renee Forsyth was 16.
Thank you. Therefore, Amber Trujillo McClure. Yeah, there. Got it right. Okay. Has been elected grade at large representative. Thank you.
Thank you.
congratulations, Amber, and thank you both for running. And on to the UNM 2040 discussion. Is that you, Amy?
It is.
Okay.
It's me. Okay, I'm going to share my screen, if that's okay. All right, so, you know, I'm sure most of you are aware from all the emails that have been going around for the last, I don't know, maybe it hasn't been a year, but it's been a while, about UNM 2040 and, you know, the input that was solicited for, you know, vision, mission, and values. This is basically, you know, our plan of what we're going to be working on between now and 2040, where we want to go. The this is the UNM 2040 site. It is opportunity.unm.edu. And the vision, mission, and values here have already been set. So we've had our chance to give input to these. But the values are excellence, inclusion, environment, integrity, and place. And so within that framework of vision, mission, and values, we have five goals. All right, so goal one is to advance New Mexico. Understand the needs and unique opportunities of our distinct cultures of people, and basically, you know, contribute to growing quality of life, prosperity, et cetera. And these are the objectives of goal one. Goal two is the student experience and educational innovation. Goal three is inclusive excellence. Goal four is sustainability. And goal five is one university. Now, I want to hit on sustainability for 1 second. Just because the next item on the agenda today is a discussion about standing committees for sustainability. But sustainability means, in terms of UNM 2040, is sustainability of all resources. So that includes environmental sustainability, it's human resources, it's financial sustainability, it's basically sustainability of everything that we possess at the university. So basically, the reason I wanted to have a bit of a discussion about the goals today is that we've been asked to offer suggestions for how we think UNM might best meet those goals. So these can be very small things that just contribute to the goals, or they can be big things that contribute to the goals, which again, advanced New Mexico, student experience, inclusive excellence, sustainability in one university. So I just wanted us to take a few minutes and think about any ideas that we might have. And if you don't have any ideas today, that is also perfectly fine. We can sit with this, think about it, and you can, you know, send to exec or send to me, either ARQs at UNM or FC President at UNM, your ideas, because the administration's really interested in what we've got to say. Winton, I am so delighted that you have something.
Thank you. One thing that I see not just at UNM, but kind of in a lot of maybe what we might call our systems or agencies or universities that have a lot of different moving parts is we have a tendency, because we're all so busy, and we try and, you know, be really good at what we do, we stay in our silos. And I think that there's so much to offer at UNM with the different moving parts that I think it would be really important if we could find a way to introduce to all staff and all members of UNM the different parts of UNM. So that academia doesn't just stay in academia. You know, I mean, there is overlap. You know, hospital academia kind of move together, but I'm kind of speaking as someone who works at the Center for Development and Disability. If you don't really know about disability within UNM or within our community, you don't, people say, oh, huh, where are you guys? Over on Manal? Oh, and we have so much to offer, and you all have so much to offer us, and if we could all kind of, I don't know, come up with a way that we were a more unified entity by, I don't know, doing tours. I don't know what, but, you know, kind of like forcing everybody to get to know the other. Because we're all so busy that, you know, if we just give, kind of like, well, let's, you know, maybe check out these things. People just are so busy they don't. So maybe there's some way to figure out how we can really make known all of our parts to all of us.
Thank you so much. This is perfect for Goal 5, One University, and definitely something that even if it didn't apply to UNM 2040, would just be cool to do. So appreciate that. Sharina, it looks like you were next.
I just wanted to say a few things that I've seen in other institutions that I've worked at that really kind of fostered community engagement. There used to be, I was at Cincinnati Children's Hospital, and they had a 3 days long, like, health sciences day where they kind of open, I know it's COVID times, so just with that in mind, but basically all of the neighboring high schools and elementary schools would hand select kind of very bright shining students, and those students would be welcome along with their families to do tours that encompass the hospital and research side. And what this does is foster, hey, little kids, young kids, and it was everything. And so all the graduate students, professors were actually involved in either touring groups, and it kind of spans both, and it kind of says, hey, these are the facilities that are here medically to help the community, as well as these are future careers that you guys might want to get into. And it was everything from physical therapy to cardiothoracic, and I just thought, that's so amazing. One, so that the community knows that this is the immense resource that is right in your neighborhood, and two, if you want to be a doctor one day or a researcher, you know, this, you don't have to see it just on TV. This was real, and they got to talk to real graduate students and stuff, and I just thought that was so powerful, even though it seemed kind of fluffy, but I thought it was extremely powerful. The other one was we also supported, so all of, like, many postdocs, graduate students, professors actually were volunteer judges for state and local science fair, and I had no idea before I did that, that the pot for a state science fair in Ohio at the time is something above 20 grants, right? And they were just supporting and fostering throughout all of the local elementary to high school, you know, that kind of next level of science excellence. And I think that's the kind of a long-term way to sustain the brain power that the whole community is doing. I thought that was really, really eye-opening, both for the judges and the students that were participating. I just wanted to echo what was just said about unification. I feel like working on North Campus, sometimes we're just not aware of all of the goings-on that are happening on just across the street in Lomas, both from an electronic information flow point of view, but even logistically, crossing the street to Lomas, it's actually really hard now with construction and everything, and I don't know how that ties in with, it might even tie in with parking. It's just physically difficult to walk over because there are limited branch points, access points through the hospital, which is the easiest way to get across the street, and so there's a physical divide that I don't know if things like more golf carts or something that were available or more shuttles, because right now there's only one shuttle from QR, which is also quite a hike to get to main campus. And I feel like if there was some way that we could think about bridging physically the way to get to the events that are on main campus or vice versa, I don't know. I think there's just like that physical and both electronic divide. My husband works on main campus, and I'm like, what do you mean there was this event? I had no idea. And so I think unifying the campus physically, or even like to get over that mental hurdle, but it's tough right now with the construction. And thank you, that's it.
Thank you. Those are great ideas. So.
Yes, I just had a comment from, I found it interesting going back to sustainability that they had human resource as part of that. And I think it's part of the One University administration and us need to sit down and think of ways to retain our current staff. We're seeing people leave left and right for new jobs. And I've been here for 36 years, and I'm under a different benefits program as opposed to new people who come in who have been hired after 2013. And I think we need to sit down and work on how to retain and how to promote staff. That's all that I have. I'm sorry, I have no ideas as to how that's done. But the good suggestion that we sit down together and talk about it.
You know, I've been talking to HR about that a little bit, about retention and recruitment. And they are 100% aware of the problem. And they're trying to figure out solutions. But yeah, if we can come up with anything, whether that's from our own ideas or just reaching out to our constituents, I know that they would love to hear from us about that. Thanks, Joe. Amber.
Hi. I have two thoughts. One is that I come from community college, which is high emphasis on the trades, and I feel like we are in an academic, you know, undergraduate academic environment, but it's really important that we find pathways to engage students who may not be necessarily college bound, but are definitely trade bound because this is a deficit in our communities, and find ways to work them into our community so that they are engaging in education that will allow them for management positions, but it's that works on all those skills, those higher order skills that they may not get in a trades program that's only a semester to four semesters long.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that I think, I don't know if that would be in collaboration with, I know we do a lot with CNM, but there's some really interesting things going on around the state that maybe not, especially like in the rural communities that are very focused on agriculture and wind energy and that kind of thing. And my other thought, to piggyback on what Joe was saying about sustainability, in terms of retention of staff, I've been working with everybody within the registrar circle to create a session training, and I'm starting with a master calendar because I found that, you know, when you're on the outside looking in, you can see where all the silos are. And so maybe that's part of a conversation that we can have about how we can bring some succession training into our regular work. Because in our office alone, I think there's five of us that are set to retire all at the same time. So that would be a huge institutional brain loss, or knowledge loss, so information loss.
Yeah.
That's all I have.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Sure.
So we have hit four of our five goals so far. I'm so excited. Renee.
So I work over here in the HSC and am both fellowship coordinator for infectious diseases and rheumatology, as I mentioned before, and my background is in marketing. And with that understanding, you know, I am always trying to figure out when we have match, which is coming up really soon, for candidates to the fellowship program, is how to tap into medical students that are all over the United States and how to get them interested in coming to New Mexico. And I think that some of the goals that you've mentioned, Amy, have to do with, you know, what we could tap into presenting to potential match candidates, because it's just like, it's very difficult when we're trying to show what we have to offer here in New Mexico if they're looking at information, though, that has to do with education and certain things being left from a national standard, and it's not good. And then, of course, I second what Speaker Lane and Amber just spoke about with regards to the salary issue is that I find it to be just a huge disconnect as to how academia doesn't get paid anything, and then you have everybody going off to governmental sector positions that pay twice or three times more starting a position. And it's, you know, I personally love academia, and I know a lot of us don't want to have to leave, but then, you know, with the cost of everything has tremendously increased, and then hopefully we're all going to see some sort of an increase within our salaries, but it's been very difficult financially for a lot of us. So that's, I know, a difficulty that I don't know if we can bridge the gap some way, but it's just, I know I've heard it a lot from a lot of my, you know, staff, my fellow staff members, that it's just difficult, and it's a financial strain on a lot of us. I do know from a standpoint of, you know, the extension to all of us because of COVID and being able to work from home that, you know, with regards to what you had mentioned earlier about the COVID, you know, leave not being available any longer. For me, it's not an issue. I don't foresee it because, yeah, I do have the ability to work from home, but some people may not have that availability. Anyway.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Jessica.
Hello. I work on HSC, and in my role, I get to deal with and work with a lot of the departments on HSC side, and a lot of them are very short-staffed.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone I talk to, it's the money. Mm-hmm. It's the money. My coworker left.